staff was watching this procedure. "Well, good luck with it," Kelso said. As the two men walked back to the hospital, Morris saw Ellis, a distant, solitary figure, limping slightly as he crossed the parking lot and climbed into his car and drove home. Wednesday, March 10th, 1971. Implantation. Chapter 1. At 6 a.m., Janet Ross was on the third surgical floor, dressed in greens, having coffee and a donut. The surgeon's lounge was busy at this hour. Although operations were scheduled to begin at 6, most didn't get going for 15 or 20 minutes after that. The surgeons sat around, reading the newspaper, discussing the stock market and their golf games. From time to time, one of them would leave, go to the overhead viewing galleries, and look down on their ORs to see how preparations were coming. Ross was the only woman in the room, and her presence changed the masculine atmosphere subtly. It annoyed her that she should be the only woman, and it annoyed her that the men should become quieter, more polite, less jovial and raucous. She didn't give a damn if they were raucous, and she resented being made to feel like an intruder. It seemed to her that she had been an intruder all her life, even when she was very young. Her father had been a surgeon who never bothered to conceal his disappointment that he had a daughter instead of a son. A son would have fitted into his scheme of life. He could have brought him to the hospital on Saturday mornings, taken him into the operating rooms. Those were all things you could do with a son. But a daughter was something else, a perplexing entity not suited for a surgical life, and therefore an intrusion. She looked around at all the surgeons in the lounge, and then to cover her unease, she went to the phone and dialed the seventh floor.
"This is Dr. Ross. Is Mr. Benson on call?"
"He was just sent."
"When did he leave the floor?"
"About 5 minutes ago."
She hung up and went back to her coffee. Ellis appeared and waved to her across the room.
"There'll be a 5-minute delay hooking into the computer," he said. "They're tying in the lines now. Is the patient on call?"
"Sent 5 minutes ago."
"You seen Morris?"
"Not yet."
"He better get his ass down here," Ellis said. Somehow, that made her feel good.
Morris was in the elevator with a nurse and Benson, who lay on a stretcher, and one of the cops. As they rode down, Morris said to the cop,
"You can't get off on the floor."
"Why not?"
"We're going into the sterile floor directly."
"What should I do?"
"You can watch from the viewing gallery on the third floor. Tell the desk nurse I said it was all right."
The cop nodded. The elevator stopped at the second floor. The doors opened to reveal a hallway with people all in surgical greens walking back and forth. A large sign read, "Sterile area. No admittance without authorization." The lettering was red. Morris and the nurse wheeled Benson out of the elevator. The cop remained behind, looking nervous. He pushed the button for the third floor, and the doors closed. Morris went with Benson down the corridor. After a moment, Benson said,
"I'm still awake."
"Of course you are.